Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
Proverbs 29:18, continuing our series that started last week on Own the Vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Put no vision, say no vision, people perish. Say no vision, people die. No vision, people get stuck. But he that keeps the law, or he that keeps the word, happy is he. He that has the word, he that keeps the word, he that does the word, happy is he. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 and 3, and the KJV reads it like this, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. Though it tarry, wait for it. Can I just tell somebody today, it might not happen in January, but it's going to happen. It might not happen this week, but it's going to happen. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry, meaning it's not going to take forever. It is on its way. Turn to your neighbor and just tell them, own the vision. You may be seated. While you're sitting down, a young couple invited their elderly preacher for Sunday dinner. While they were in the kitchen preparing the meal, the minister asked their little boy, what are we having for dinner? The little boy replied, goat. The preacher said, goat? Startled at the thought of having a goat. And he said, are you sure about that? The youngster said, yep, I heard Dad say to Mom this morning, today is just as good as any to have that old goat here for dinner. Proverb, you don't talk like that about Bishop, do you? I know you don't talk like that about me, but you. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We started off this series, and I think churches sometimes make it so much about the church that they forget that the church locally, Living Way Church, is made up of individuals. And the church locally can become very selfish in our approach, that it's all about the church and not about the people that make up the church. You realize that Living Way is not a building. It's not a 501c3. Living Way is a people. You and I are Living Way. We are the church. That's why if something were to happen to this building, we could be out on the parking lot today in the sunshine and still have church, because we are the church. We come together in the building, and this is where we have chosen the location centrally for us to join Sundays and Wednesdays and every day that we can have an event or have something special to do here. But understand that we are the church. And so when I talk about owning the vision, I'm not just talking about the vision of Living Way. And let me tell you something, Living Way's got more vision for the next 45 years than we did the first 45 years. We've got more vision to reach our city with Jesus Christ, get them filled with the Holy Ghost, get them baptized in the name of Jesus. Come on, I thought I'd get a better amen. Just because you're doing better doesn't mean they're doing better. We got to get Jesus to them. Got to get them to the cross, get them to the upper room, get them to the water to be baptized. We want their marriages strong, their families blessed. We want their ministry and purpose realized. We want all of those things. And so we have to understand that when we talk about vision at Living Way, we're not just talking about a church vision. We're talking about your vision. I want to see your vision come to pass in life. I want to see you hit the target that God has placed in front of you. Can I just encourage everybody today that is in the house, whether this is your first time or you've been here 40 years, if you are still living here today on January 12, 2020, God has a plan for you. God has a target in front of you. God has already ordered your steps to achieve that target, and God expects us to get to that place. So you're not waking up every day aimlessly walking and wandering through life. You've got to wake up, and when your eyes pop open, you've got to know what you're about, what God has called you to do and what you're going to do on Monday at 6 a.m. to get you closer to where God has called you, not only as a minister, but as a father, mother, as a household, as a family, as a believer, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, as an employer or an employee. We must have vision. How many of you know somebody that has no vision? Just raise your hand. Not physically, but spiritually. They don't have any plan, no goals. How many of you are sitting next? No, just don't point them out. You know, automatically our mind, when we think of no vision, we think of the 18-year-old sitting in mom's basement playing Call of Duty all day. But you know what's worse than that? Is the 50-year-old that's making six figures, that's in a high-rise downtown, that still has no vision. Vision doesn't mean that you're going to be a millionaire. If your vision is big enough, God might give you a million so that you have provision to carry out His vision, but do not mistake earthly success with a visionary or somebody who has vision. They might be able to set goals. They might be able to do things here and there, but God has called us to do greater things than to build bigger houses, to have nice cars, and to have big bank accounts. And I want all three of those things for you in your life, but understand that God didn't put you on this earth just for that. God's got something bigger in store for you. And so as a person, as a believer in Jesus Christ, it should be our goal. God, I'm not doing another thing in 2020 until I receive a vision and I'm working towards who you've called me to be and what you've called me to do. I might not get there in a day. I might not get there in a month. I might not even be there by the end of August. But God, every day I wake up, the vision that you have dropped in my spirit, I'm going to faith it into being, praise it into being, worship it into being, and serve it into being, but I'm going to work it into being. We as the church love to place all the emphasis on the spiritual, and then we love to sit back and expect God to dump it all in our lap. But our good brother James said that faith without works is dead. Talk is cheap, and there's too much lip service going on in our generation. Everybody wants to be an influencer. Everybody thinks they have something to say. I don't need to hear what you have to say. I need you to show me what you're willing to do to bring the vision that God has given you for this house or your house to pass. Get around people of vision. Last week I talked about the DMV telling me that I needed glasses, and someone said, you didn't finish the story. That was the story. You say, well, I never see you in glasses, and I've been in your truck. I still don't wear the glasses. I drive by the Holy Ghost. I don't know if those are mailboxes or people. I'm just praying. But to drive without glasses, the Department of Motor Vehicles told me, you are putting yourself in danger. You are putting others in danger. That's why I'm the last one to leave on Sunday. I give y'all a head start. That's why I'm the first one here on Sundays. I give myself a head start. But what they're saying is you're a danger to yourself and everybody around you on the road. Same thing is a person that does not have vision in their life and for their life. They're a danger to themselves, and they're a danger to everybody around them. Young person, 16-year-old, you got your buddies you like to hang out with at school. I'm all for that. Play basketball, play football, run track, spend some time with them at school, but you need to find yourself some visionaries around you. You need to find a coach. You need to find a teacher. You need to find a man of God here at this building that can pour into you, that has some vision, because we've got so many people that do not have vision. And listen, a lack of vision attracts a lack of vision. Visionaries get around other visionaries, and people that refuse to get a vision love to be around people that refuse to get a vision, because it means that they don't have to take responsibility, and they don't feel any pressure to live a certain way. We love the phrase, live and let live. No. I'm going to get a vision. If you don't want to have a vision, that's between you and God. But don't hate on the people that get a vision and then watch that vision come to pass. There's a lot of people that walk up to blessed people, anointed people, and people that have done great things and had great success in ministry or in the secular world, and they say things like, ooh, I want a double portion. Do you really want a double portion? Because all you see is the Instagram photos of what they have now, and you don't know the sleepless nights. You don't know the tears cried. You don't know the blood shed. You don't know who walked in and who walked out so that vision could come to pass. Can I tell you that when God gives you a vision, you've got to fight to keep the vision. You've got to fight to work the vision. You've got to fight to keep yourself motivated to go after the vision. You've got to wake up, and when nobody's in your corner, you're still about bringing the vision to pass. You've got to wake up, and when everybody's in your corner, not get a big head and say, I'm still called to do what God has called me to do. Somebody say, give me a vision. When we talk about owning the vision, we're talking about to hold as one's belonging, to possess. We've been talking about possessing on Wednesday nights. Before you possess, you have to prepare. And this is where we left off last session. How do you prepare to own the vision? First of all, you got to pray. You pray in English, Spanish, and then the Holy Ghost. You pray in English, and when you run out of things to pray about, you pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray in Spanish until you run out of things to pray about, and then you pray. You say, why do I need to pray in the Holy Ghost? Because we are so finite in what God has given us, information about the vision. God can't show you everything, because if he showed you everything, it would be so big nobody would start anything. So God gives us glimpses. And as God gives us glimpses, that Holy Ghost begins to show us pictures and snapshots and Polaroids in our spirit of what God has promised and what God is doing. And I believe as I pray in English, I'm praying over God. I pray that you would anoint my steps, and I pray that you would bring the right people in. And God, you promised this in my vision, and God, I'm working towards that. But then at the end of everything I can pray in English, I just got to spend some time. I love when I speak in tongues on the microphone, because like 12 or 14 of y'all that are really in it, y'all are like, yeah, and everybody else is like, oh, I wish he wouldn't do that. The visitors don't understand. You don't have to understand my vision. There's a lot of things that I do that nobody understands. I've been married for almost 17 years. I'm sure that there's been a time or two that Mandy has just shook her head and had to put it in God's hands, saying, God, I don't know what my husband is doing, but God, if you are leading him, I am following him, so please don't lead him astray. Don't let him fall astray, because I'm following him. You don't have to understand my vision. I don't have to understand your vision. But listen, when I'm getting prepared to possess, I got to pray that thing into existence. Get in your word. Number two, meditate on it, declare it, prophesy it. We're going to get to that in a minute. Examine yourself. How can you be a better you? Too many fingers are pointing everywhere else. Some of you haven't quit pointing at Washington in 3.5 years, and you're blaming Washington on your state of affairs. I'm going to tell you what. I've been living for 38 years. I've been voting for 20 years. I voted 5 times in my life. I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes I've won, sometimes I've lost, but 99% of my life has not been affected by what is done in Washington. 100% of the time, I pray for whoever is sitting in Washington, but my life is not. Some of us are pointing so much at other people that we have stagnated our walk with God, stagnated what God is trying to do in our life, because it's this person's fault. And if I had that chance, and if I had that opportunity, and if I had been born in this family, and if I'd had a father that didn't treat me this way, if I had a mother that spoke life, can I tell you that every excuse you have was somebody else's excuse that they turn into a reason or a cause to rise up from where they are and say, I'm not going to be like everybody else. I'm not going to lay down. I'm not going to use that as an excuse, but every day I'm going to use that as a reason to launch me and catapult me to the vision that God has called me to have. Chances are the reason we are not where we are supposed to be is not an outside influence, but an inside influence. My greatest enemy is not the devil. He is a defeated foe. The Bible says that the world will look on him, believers will look on him, and we will look at him narrowly saying, is this the man that made nations tremble? I'm here to tell you, I've just made it a point in my life, I'm not going to wait till the end of age to look at the enemy like that. I look at him like that every morning. When he comes in with a doubt thought, when he comes in with a fear thought, I go ahead and look at him a little side eye. If I happen to be wearing my glasses, I pull them to the end of my nose, and I look at him and say, you are the one that at the end of age, everybody is going to know you were playing with counterfeit money. You've been a fake and a phony all this time. 2,000 years ago, my God, Jesus kicked your tail all over hell for 72 hours. You are defeated. You don't have a right in my life. And so I don't blame him. I blame me. Am I praying enough? Am I loving enough? Am I serving enough? Am I doing what God has called me to do? Come on, you can only call it a mistake one time. After that, it's a conscious decision. You got real quiet. It becomes a pattern of your life. Pastor, I've had a bad 5 years. You didn't learn the lesson after the first year? I've had three bad marriages. You didn't learn the first. If you've had three bad marriages, chances are the women you divorced had one bad marriage. So if you've had three and they've had one, the common denominator is you. I preached at you. Let me preach about myself. And I just figured this out. Boom. Light bulb went off in my head. Every problem Brandon's ever had, there's been one common denominator. Me. Not the devil. The devil's been after me. I had four flat tires. That's not the devil. That's you ignoring the little gauge on your dashboard. That's you not rotating your tires. That's not you putting air in your tires. That is you driving the same tires for 5 years and putting 120,000 miles on them. The devil is not so concerned with what you're driving. The devil's concerned with where you're going. And so understand this. The devil is defeated. I don't give him any place in my life. And so for me to say the devil did it means that I'm not fulfilling the word of God, which says resist the devil and he will flee from me. I'm not fulfilling the word of God, which says the devil goes under my feet or behind me. For me to say the devil do it is an accusation and indictment against myself that I'm not doing what God called me to do. So when there's a problem at Brandon's house, it's not the devil. Chances are it's not even Tyler, Jaden, or Mandy. Chances are Brandon's got a problem. The common denominator is me. Every problem you've had in life, what's the common denominator? You. You say, I thought I'd be happy when I divorced her. Probably not. I thought I'd be happy when I get more problems. As the great theologian said, mo money, mo problems. We are shifting chairs around on a sinking boat. It's time that you get out of that boat and you get in the lifeboat called Jesus Christ. It's time that you say, God, I've set goals, but now it's time that I get vision. Because when I get a vision, God, the vision will happen, though it tarry. I'm going to wait for it because if you promised it, I'm going to get it. I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. The greatest thing you can get is a God-given vision, because once you get a God-given vision, the cancer word doesn't scare you. Why? Because God told me I was going to do this, and I haven't done this yet. So when the devil tries to bring this in my life or something comes against me in my life, I don't put faith in that or fear in that. Why? Because God has shown me where I'm going and what I'm going to do. It hasn't happened yet, and so I've got faith. Examine yourself. Challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. Big dreams, big goals, big vision. Your vision. Your vision should require so much faith that you got to spend some time talking to God before you leave your house. What God's called you to do should be so great. What God has promised your family should be so great that you lean into God 10 or 12 times a day, praying and interceding. God, is this the right step? Is this where I'm going? Is this where I should be? Final thing to prep as we write down our vision, we make it plain. Vision boards. It's not some goofy pie in the sky. You get it in front of you. You look it. First of all, you got to get it out of your mind. You got to start talking about it. Next thing you got to do is you got to write that thing down. You got to post it on your bathroom mirror. You got to post it in your car. You got to put it as the background on your phone. So numerous times a day, you're looking at that vision. You're keeping it in front of you. The word vision is used 86 times in the Old Testament, 17 times in the New Testament. Why the discrepancy? Why is it used almost four more times in the Old Testament than it is in the New Testament? Because the Old Testament vision, the Old Testament was full of prophets, and the Old Testament was pointing to what was coming in the New Testament. And so when you understand that everything is pointing for the future, you've got to get God's hand pointing out to you what where he's taking you and what he's getting ready to do in your life. Get that vision, start talking that vision, start declaring that vision, and understand, like times of old, there is no Jeremiah. Quit looking for an Isaiah. Quit looking for someone else. You are the prophet of your house. You are the prophet of your family. You are the prophet of your life. Speak to it. Come on, Ezekiel, declare to the dry bones. When we use the phrase owning vision, we're really talking about getting vision. Seeing that vision come to pass, fulfilling the vision. Matthew 15:14 says, "Let them alone," Jesus said. "They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." I'm going to tell you a funny story about Bishop. I hardly ever tell you because I'm scared of Bishop telling all of his stories. Bishop took his truck across the road to Jordan Ford. He started calling the office so that he can get a ride back to the office. He dropped his truck off for maintenance repairs. Nobody was at the office. Pastor Becky didn't answer her phone. Sean didn't answer his phone. I didn't answer my phone. The administrator didn't answer her phone. And so Bishop walked back to church. Just from across the highway. But y'all know where this is going. Bishop didn't go down to Shin Oak Turnaround and go over the highway. Bishop ran across the highway. All 8 lanes of Interstate 35 in frontage roads. Bishop played his own game of Frogger. Legend has it he got stuck out in the median in the middle of the freeway for a few minutes. No brakes in traffic. There he is, pastor one of the largest churches in all of America, and he's just stuck in the middle. Waiting for there to be a break in traffic. The end of the story, he made it. He's sitting right here. You know why he made it? Because he could see what was coming. He could see the semi was coming over into the closest lane. He could see that cars were too close together, one after another, for him to make it through. And so he bided his time. He picked the moment, and he pressed forward. Most of us will not be patient with the vision to come to pass. We get mad that on January 12th, we're not living our best life yet. You said this was going to be the best year. Calm down, sweetie. 354 days left in this year. There's a lot of living left to do. Well, I thought I'd be out of debt by now. We did too. Tomorrow is going to happen. And if it doesn't happen tomorrow in February, it's going to happen. What did God promise you? Is that what God promised you? Because God's not going to promise to get you out of debt if you're down there at Ross spending $263 every 2 weeks. Well, God said I was going to be married. Now I don't even have a man right now. That's because every relationship in your life, you treat them like garbage. You treat your mom like garbage, your dad like garbage, your best friend like garbage. Why God gonna keep bringing people to you if you treat them? Yeah, but he promised. Maybe that's not your vision. Maybe you need to work on you, boo, before God brings you a boo. So many of us are not using this. We're using this. I'm just going to follow my heart. Please don't say things like that. I know the live, laugh, and love generation loves to say things like, oh, I'm just going to follow my passion. Don't do that. Your flesh is passionate about a lot of things that you should not follow. The Bible says your heart is deceitfully wicked. Who could know that? That has never changed. It is always going to be flesh. I don't follow this. I don't follow feeling. I follow faith. When God says move, I move. But until he says move, I stand still. When God says I can be with somebody, I'm with somebody. But until he says that, I'm okay by myself. Why? Because I am a visionary. And a visionary is not moved by the winds of time and the winds of season. A visionary is moved that when God shows me where to go and gives me the action to move, that I step out and I move. Some of us with full vision would not even attempt to run across 35. I'm going to shock you with this next statement. I am not in the top physical condition that I want to be. I don't know if I could run across 35 if there was no traffic at 3 a.m. Maybe a brisk walk, maybe a power walk. I used to laugh at all the power walkers. Don't laugh at them now, because that's basically all I can do at this point. There's a lot of us that can't make it with vision. We wouldn't even attempt to. That's crazy. And we would go out of our way to make sure that we could see with our physical eyes. But there is nobody in here that would attempt to do that with a blindfold on. Why is it that we can so quickly say, I would never attempt to cross 35 with a blindfold where I cannot see? How is it we are so quick to say that, but we will leave our house in the morning with absolutely no vision, go to a job full of heathen people, go to the mall full of demon-possessed people, and listen, I'm speaking plainly, and there's no reason to edit or backtrack that statement, because let me tell you something. If you look through your spiritual eyes, there's a lot of demon-possessed people walking around our city streets. That's why the Holy Ghost is important, because the Holy Ghost puts a protection around me, and my vision says, all right, leave the mall now. One of our young men was at the mall he was on his way to the mall just a few weeks ago before it got shot up, and something happened and made him turn. What is that? That's the Holy Ghost saying, hey, there's something there. There's somebody there that is not for you, and you need to turn. There's a lot of us that God is wanting us to do something, but we are moving without vision, and by moving without vision, we're wandering around aimlessly. When you wander around aimlessly, you're going to hit every goal you have. Nothing. If your goal is nothing, congratulations. 100% of the time, you hit that goal. How do we own the vision? Number one, I know we're running close to time here. Know the vision. Number one, know the vision. You cannot know vision until you know Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. It's a basic statement, but it's a powerful statement. You cannot know vision without the visionary. He sits high, he looks low. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than ours. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is time. He doesn't hold time. He is time, Alpha and Omega. Jesus has already stood in 2022. Jesus has already stood in 2042. Jesus is standing in eternity right now, and he's still standing in the Garden of Eden right now. That's how big my God is. And so I can't know vision without having a relationship with the visionary. Can I tell you, you can go through all the 10-step programs and the 12-step programs, and if you do these 8 things, you're going to have a great year. You can do that all you want, but all of that is fleeting, and it might not work. But for those of us that put a foundation on Jesus Christ and are led of the Holy Spirit, I have vision because I know vision. I know vision because I know who Jesus is. John says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I live in freedom. You know why I live in freedom? Because I know freedom. I know Jesus. You ever have somebody who name drops? And they're dropping all the friends that they hung out with, and so-and-so, and somebody famous? I do that all the time. Bondage tries to show up at my house, I just tell bondage, hey, I know Jesus. So what does that mean? I know the truth. So you can't stay because I'm staying free. Sickness tries to come. I told my friend Josh the other day, Josh called me, he's supposed to be down here last week to do some projects with us, and he said, man, I can't come. He said, I never get sick, but these last 4 days, man, and I said, man, I'm that way. About every 5 or 6 years, I let my guard down, but I don't get sick. Because when I start feeling sick, I just say, Jesus, take care of this. I have too much vision to be sick. I have too much in front of me to slow down. Pastor, you need to get some rest. I'm trying to figure out how I can do what I need to do on 1 hour of sleep. I'm not trying to rest. I'll rest in the Lord. I don't have to sleep. I can rest in the things of God. I am so sick and tired. Let me just rant for about 30 seconds. All these pastors taking cruise after cruise after cruise and vacation after vacation. What are you escaping from? This is my life. This is my vision. This is my world. I don't need a vacation. The only time I take a vacation is to spend some time with my kids that are going to be out of my house in the next 3 years, or they're
going to start paying rent. Either one. I'm going on vacation for them, not me. I don't need rest. Vision is my rest. Jesus is my rest. Sickness can't stay. Depression can't. I've never been depressed a day in my life. You say you're boasting. Oh, I am. I'm boasting in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I've never wanted to put a pistol in my mouth and end it all. I've never wanted to jump off a bridge, slip my wrist, or take something down my throat. Why? Because I've got a vision, and I know that the devil would love to derail my vision, but my vision is going to come to pass, and it will come to pass. I will not flake out. I will not wuss out because I know the vision. So you can't know vision until you know Jesus, the giver of vision. You can't know vision until you read and meditate on his word. Pastor once told me, he said, you got something to preach? Call me. You got something to preach? I said, I got a lot of stuff to preach. Well, give me something. This is a pastor of a church. Give you something. Yeah, man, I don't have anything to preach. Gave something to him. So now he's preaching my regurgitated, my vision, what God gave me. He's preaching it. Call me the next week. Hey, man, that was good on Wednesday night. And this was all before live stream, because now they just watch our live stream and steal sermons. He said, you got something to preach? This went on for like 3 or 4 weeks until finally I said, bro, for you not to have something to preach means one of two things. You're not praying or you're not in the book. Because when I step out here, it's not what am I going to say. It's God, I've got so much to say. How can I condense it to 35 minutes? God, it's not what series am I going to preach. It's God, I got about 10 series in my spirit. Which one is for January 2020? And some of us are saying, I just don't have a vision. God never speaks to me. Do you ever speak to God? You ever get in the book? Because there's two kinds of vision. There's the written vision, the spoken vision. The vision that God has for all of us is to be in health, our soul prosper. Come on now. Having prosperity in our lives, abundant life, eternal life, that's our, to be whole, to be healthy, to be wise, all of those things are found in the written vision. But then when I get in the written vision, God starts speaking. All right, Brandon, here's some audible vision for you, just for you. This is going to bless you and your family. This is going to take you to a different dimension of faith. This is going to make you a better pastor. This is going to make you a better brother. This is going to make you a better son and a better father. Why? Because I got in the book. Joshua said this in closing. Joshua said in chapter 1, verse 8, as God spoke to him, he said, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day in and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, and only then, thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and you will have good success. So many of us are living life with no vision, and we wonder why we're not blessed. We wonder why we go from struggle to struggle instead of victory to victory. We wonder why we're facing the same giants in 2020 that we did in 2016 or 14 or 2002. It's because vision has not become a part of your life. You're living by coincidence and happenstance, and that's no way to live. Live your life on purpose, for purpose, with purpose. Living Way, today we need to have more vision than we've ever had. Our world is shaking. Earthquakes are now happening at an alarming rate in the same spots over and over again. Iran, Russia, and China all are participating in joint efforts and military exercises. It is a scary time to live without Jesus. It is a scary time to live without vision. I see those things that I'm not worried about my kids. I'm not worried about my life. What I say is, God, what a time to be alive. Thank you for vision, because as the world literally shakes, God, people are going to be looking for a preacher. When the world is falling apart, people are going to be looking for a savior. I am here to declare, as you stand on your feet, I am here to declare we're going to see the greatest awakening in our nation. We're going to see the greatest awakening in millennials and zillennials. We're going to see the greatest revival amongst the Muslim population. We're going to see, there's a good place to say amen. We're going to see, listen, we're going to see Congress get filled with the Holy Ghost. The senators up on Capitol Hill are going to start talking words, speaking words. You say, I don't know about all that. Oh, come on now. Either God's going to fill them, or God's going to raise up some young men and women out of this generation to say enough is enough. You need a visionary? I've got the vision. God has anointed me for this time, and I'm going to own the vision. I'm out of time. Way out of time. If you're in this place today...